for all who believe. And we pray that as we lift our voices here this afternoon, that you would be pleased to work by your Spirit with us in conjunction with your work, and bring not only the conviction of sin, but the conviction of your love and your grace, that others too might know you, believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and enjoy everlasting eternal life and love. Be with us, uphold us, strengthen us with your righteous right hand, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. That's fine. Opportunity friends this afternoon is afforded to you to receive a copy of God's word, extract from the Bible, yours to take and do with as you will. It's offered to you freely. We don't charge, we don't make any charge for any of our literature. It's offered freely, as is God's love to you. Jesus loves you. I know that some of my Christian friends have perhaps used that phrase in a very unwise or maybe even a foolish way, but I tell you, there is nothing more profound that has ever been said to you in all your life and existence. You might not be loved by anyone else, you may not even love yourself, but Jesus loves you is a very, very profound thing, believe me. And the proof and the evidence of it is that he came into the world to save and to rescue people such as yourself and myself. I myself, some 35 years ago now, came to realize the depth and the extent of his love for me. Oh, very, very undeservedly so, I can assure you. Far away from God, with no thought of God in my heart or mind, no care for anyone really but myself. I lived for self, sensual pleasure, drunkenness, blasphemy. Well, you could just about list, and probably could list in detail against me every single one of God's commandments. I didn't love him. I didn't care for him. I never even gave him a thought. He was not in all my thoughts. But he came to me in a most wretched condition as ever a man could be found in. And he rescued me from that. I had reached the place where I had given up all hope. Life did not seem to me to be worth a hoot, as we say, worth living. Down and down, a downward spiral that ended in that place. What's the use of continuing on, I thought to myself. And then I began to reflect about childhood and teenage years, when, yes, I was taught the Bible, I had heard about it, and Boys Brigade and such like, where they, in those days at least anyway, they taught us about Jesus and about his love for sinners. And as I reflected upon those things, I wondered to myself, I thought, yes, if only just I could go back to that place and start all over again. But then I would shrug it off and think to myself, what foolishness. That's an impossibility. But of course I know now, I realize now, that if I was taken back to that place to start again, I would just make the same foolish mistakes and decisions all over again. But I was in that state of heart and mind that I began to think about things that I had been told back in those days. And I started to read a Christian book that had been given to me 8 years previously that I often flicked through but never read. I would laugh, I would sneer, and I would think, yes, that's not for me. Such folly. But in this state of despair, hopelessness is the only way I could describe it, I began to read this book properly for the first time. It was written by an American pastor. And he said in the book, he told about a man in America, a businessman. Because of his addiction to alcohol, he had lost his wife, his business, children. Everything was just in ruin. He was in a hopeless state and condition, just like me. But the good news was, he said that he found Jesus, or rather the way he put it was that Jesus found him. And he got his wife back, his family was intact again, and he was flying like never before. And you see, my problem, my own personal problem was that, you mentioned the name Jesus to me, and because of my religious upbringing, you see, I would think to myself, he's not for a drunken truck driver like me. He's for respectable people with suits and collars and ties on, respectable people, not drunkards. But then this pastor, he said an amazing thing which lifted me, I think gave me more hope than anything had done in a long, long time. He said, no, he said, it's not like that. Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And I began to see myself in a way that I had never, ever seen myself before. I saw myself the way God saw me. I saw myself as a sinner. And you see, the man in the book, he was saying to me, he said, all the problems that ever you've experienced and have, and boy, there was plenty of them, he said, they all come from one source, sin in your heart. But he said, there's a wonderful cure for it, the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And I knelt by my bedside that evening, reading that book, and I prayed for the first time, for many, many a long year. And I said this, I said, Jesus, I don't know if you're there. I said, I don't know if I believe this stuff. But this man says that you can change a body's life, and mine certainly needs changing. So I said, would you change my life? Well, there was no bells ringing, flashing lights, there was no angels descending and ascending to and from heaven. But just it was as the days turned into weeks. I had this, a copy of the New Testament that had been given to me, again, a long time ago, I'd never read. But now, for some reason, unknown to me, I couldn't leave the thing alone. And it was as though the book was alive, you know, and this person, Jesus, was speaking to me, and it was like, you know, he knew me, he knew my thinking, he knew everything about me. And, you know, I kept saying to him, I kept telling him to go away, because I was just utterly vile. You know, I was not good enough for him. I kept telling him to go away and leave me. I said, you know, I said, I'll just blow it again. And of course I was right, because I have blown it 1,000,000,000 times in the last 35 years since I've known him. But one thing I'll say, he didn't listen to me. He wouldn't go away. He said to me, not quite so much in these words, but he said to me, yes, he said, I know all about you. I know all the details. I know about all the filth and the drunkenness. I know what you've done. At least I still love you. I still love you. And he came to me and he changed my life. He gave me hope. He gave me joy such as I never known before. Without the booze, took all that away. He cleaned me up to some degree, still working on me, not perfect, not by any means, not by any stretch. Still got a long, long way to go, but heading in the right direction now. So I'm telling you this because I just, you know, I don't want you to think that I'm coming here to you this afternoon as some kind of a posh dude. Don't let the clothes fool you. I come to you not with a holier than thou attitude. I'm not any better as a person than you are. In fact, you might even be a better, you might even be a lovelier person than I'll ever be. I come to you simply and as a sinful man who found grace from God through Jesus. I come to you as a man who was once hopeless, broken, but Jesus came to me and gave me hope and brought healing to my life, to my heart, my life, and my soul. And I come to you because I want to tell you the same story, the good news, the story about God's love for you. There's a hymn, you may have sung it yourself in days past, I don't know. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I love that old hymn, and I keep using those words to myself because I have to keep reminding myself of that fact, you know. And no matter how much I've learned about the Bible and all its teachings, I still like a little child, well I hope so at least anyway, I cling to those words. Jesus loves me, this I know, because you see the Bible tells me so. And I don't want you to misunderstand either that, you know, when we speak to you about things like repentance and we tell you about the warnings about hell and all the rest of it. That's all true, and I don't make any apology for God's word in any shape or form whatsoever. Tell you the truth, the whole truth, and I hope nothing but the truth. But you see, every single one of those warnings and threatenings that we have in the Bible, they're given in grace. That doesn't negate God's love for you. They're given in grace. Because you see, it's like the good parent, you know, if you're a good parent or even a half-decent one. You know, if you see your children getting close to a point of danger, water, fire, or whatever, you'll warn them, won't you? You'll tell them, get away from that. You'll scold them. And maybe sometimes you'll even have to lift your voice and scream at them. Not because you hate them, but because you love them. And you don't want them to be involved in that danger and what will harm you. And so God, in the same fashion, out of a heart full of love, He's not a God of wrath. You may have heard people, Christians, saying that, but they're wrong. God is not a God of wrath. He's a God of love, righteousness, and holiness. But he is provoked to wrath because of our sins. You see, before sin came into the world, God never knew wrath. Because of our sin, you see, that's what provokes Him to anger. Just as you do when you see your children misbehaving or getting close to near to any danger. So be sure these warnings are given in grace and love, so that you might not avoid such an end. You know, all the sufferings that you have to face in this world, whatever they be, I tell you, the misery that sin brings, and boy, does it bring misery. You know, we have that saying, don't we? He, she is as miserable as sin. Oh, I know, I've been there, done that. Got the t-shirt and the video, as we say. But Jesus lifted me out of that misery, and He can lift you out of yours too, if you would but only trust Him. So He asks you to do, you know, it's phenomenal. It took me a space of time to get my head round that. You know, the man in the book kept saying to me, just believe, you know, and Jesus kept saying the same thing. And I'm asking, I'm saying, you know, that's all I got to do? Surely, you know, surely there's got to be some kind of payback here. You know, surely I've got to do something. But, you know, the message kept coming back and back again, you can't do nothing. You ain't got nothing to offer. You know, just trust me, says Jesus. Just believe. And He gave me a word that was from the old Bible, which I still love. Some people don't, but I do. If thou canst believe, He said to me, if thou canst believe, if you can believe, all things are possible. Because you see, I still felt salvation for me. That's an impossibility. Me, a Christian, never, never, never happened. And I'd never go the distance anyway. Just believe, He said. I'll only believe. Kept coming back. Believe, 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 trust. Because that's how God's salvation works. You see, it's by faith. It's not by works. Not by our good deeds. They're not acceptable to God, mine or yours. And so this person of love, extreme love, extraordinary love, prodigal love, I would say. You heard the story about the prodigal son, haven't you? You know what the word prodigal means? He was a waster, just like I was. He wasted everything given to him of his father. He just wasted it in wild living, just the same as I did. Well, you see, that's what God's love for you is like. It's a prodigal love. He took and wasted his son on a Roman cross. That's the proof, that's the evidence of God's love for you. That he wasted his son on a Roman cross so that you could be forgiven, so that you could be washed, so that you could be made clean. The three words in the Bible for sin. One is iniquity, that means crooked, you know, not running straight. God made man upright in the first instance. And of course we start out many inventions, and we run in all kinds of different ways, every which way but God's ways. Crooked, twisted, you know, warped. That's the word iniquity. And then there's the word sin, that's missing the target. The problem for me, my own experience, I can only speak for myself. I couldn't even see the target, never mind hit it. Blinded by sin, selfishness, you know. Couldn't even see the target, never mind hit it. But you see, that's what the word sinner means. It comes from the realms of archery. When the archer fires his arrow down the range and it doesn't reach the target, the person doing the marking shouts up the range, "Sinner!" He missed the target, you see. We've all missed the target, every single one of us. Come on, people, you set targets for yourself. You don't even maintain them. Never mind God's. That's all of us. Transgression, that's the other word. That's rebellion, that's anarchy. You know, we live day by day doing our own thing with our fists in our maker's face. Rebellion, lawlessness, that's what the Bible calls it. Because of all that, you see, Jesus had to die for warped, twisted, missing the target, rebellious, anarchist men and women. God sent his son Jesus into the world that through him that they might be saved. Washed, forgiven, made clean, and made fit, not just for heaven, yes, that's the icing on the cake, but even made fit to live, to be able, believe me, to be able even to love yourself. Yeah? Because most of you don't even do that. But God does. He loves you. Jesus loves you. So whatever the context might be, you hear those three words. Jesus loves you. Please don't dismiss them offhand. Please don't take them lightly, because there is a profundity to them that you haven't yet realized. But I hope that through our ministry to you, our ministry of love, because we come to you in love, we do love you, even though we might shout sometimes, we do love you, and we want you to enjoy eternal life and love everlasting as we have come to enjoy. We've come to share Jesus with you. So maybe, perhaps, if you listen up to my colleagues as they bring the same good news to you, maybe, perhaps, the Lord will give you understanding that you might, you know, just even begin today, just the beginning. We've all got to start somewhere, you know, just to call upon his name. Whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus, of the Lord, the Bible promises, God promises, shall be saved. Calling in faith, believing, trusting, only believe, Jesus says, then all things, the miracle of God's salvation, will be possible even for you, just as it was for me. If you'd like to have a copy of God's Word, we've got plenty here. It's offered to you, as I say. There is no charge, no cost or obligation to you. Just take and read, do with as you will. But please, do take a copy of God's Word. And may He bless it to you and your souls too, in mercy and in love.